This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello everyone. Am I audible? Oh yeah. Thank you, Wimpy, and the whole worship band. Thank you for leading us into worship. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Yes, as we were worshiping you, Lord, we want to rest in your promises, Lord. We are confident in your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together and listen to you today. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have given me the opportunity today to bring your word. I pray that each and every word that I will speak, it will be yours, Lord. I pray for the hearts, let it be prepared, Lord, to receive your words. Let nothing distract, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. We have gathered for you because you are the only one worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For new people or people who doesn't know me, my name is Banish. I basically come from India. It's been 3 years that I'm living in Netherlands. And it's been a privilege for me. And I really want to thank God that he's using me to bring his words to you. I want to thank Pastor Dakian and Renee for giving me the privilege and opportunity to bring the words to you. So today we are going to look on the topic which is walking with God. And when I was preparing this sermon, God was showing me different things through this sermon, you know. And the first thing that it brought to me is, how is our life, how we are walking with God in our physical life and also the spiritual life, how it is important. Today we want to see what does it mean walking with God. Today we want to see how people like Enoch and Noah walked with God. We want to see how things distract us from walking with God. So we'll start with an example. With a real life example, I would say an illustration. As we walk in our life, we have a partner and we get married and we get into a kind of a covenant, into a relationship with our wife, with our spouse. And it was 2 weeks back that I was working with one of my colleague, and he suddenly stopped responding to emails like for almost 2-3 days. And it was an urgent email, but he suddenly stopped, and we thought, like, I don't know, maybe he might be sick or something. But when we had a meeting on next week on Monday, he came up and he said that he is going through divorce in his personal life. And also I keep on listening to, for example, the celebrities who get into a married covenant and then get divorced in maybe 5 years or maybe 10 years. And when you ask them what's the reason, then they will say that their feelings has changed. Their thinking has changed, and they find their spouse or their partner thinks in different way and they thinks in different way, which is really sad to hear. And that's sometimes happens in our life when we give our life to Christ, and when we come, we have a joy and excitement in our life. And suddenly, after a few years of walking with God, we feel like that is something drying up. That relationship is drying up. We are losing those interests. We are losing those feelings. We are losing those excitements. And that's why the scripture says that the just shall live by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. And that's we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So we as a believer, we should not live by the feelings that we have for God. We should live by faith. And faith comes with relying on God, on relying on the promises that we heard just right now, that we rest on your promises. We rest on his promises. Today we will see a bit of from the Genesis, where we see the life of Enoch and Noah. Noah and Enoch are the only two persons about whom it is said that they walked with God. They walked with God. If we see in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, we know that if you look at Genesis about Enoch, it is only there maybe five verses that is about Enoch, out of which I think two are of the genealogies and the rest is about Enoch. So I have taken it from 5 verse 21 and 22, where it says, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters." And the next scripture says, "Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away." So we see in Enoch's life few things which are very surprising and which is very something which is really, we should really consider it. He was the prototype of believers living in the last time of the judgment when the world was full of sin. We can relate it with the today's world, with today's believers, with as we are living at the end time right now. The world is full of sin, brokenness. We see how Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. And when I see 300 years, that means it says to me commitment for 300 years. It says to me consistency. It says to me walking with God every day for 300 years. And I'm sure that he was walking with God in faith, not in feelings, not depending upon feelings. Same way we see, if we look at the scripture in Genesis, after Enoch, we will see that the next chapter, it talks about Noah. We see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God." It says Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. We can say that he was sinful. He was not a perfect man. Only there was one perfect human being, who is Jesus Christ. No one is perfect. But still, he was righteous. He was blameless because he was walking with God. And we can see, when I was preparing the sermon, a question that came up in my mind, if you look the part of Noah, like before the flood, when God sent Noah to build the ark, I was thinking like how much time it took to build the ark. And I was doing the Bible study. Somewhere it was written that Noah, where the place where Noah was living was landlocked. So landlocked means it didn't had any sea or any rivers, big rivers or anything. And when God asked him to build the ark, it might be a crazy idea, right? To build an ark in a landlocked area. And I was trying to find answer that how many years did it took Noah to build the ark? How many years? I don't know, but somewhere it is written 120 years, somewhere it is written 90 years. But can you imagine today God coming to you and me and telling something or giving us some instruction, and we think of it like, is it crazy? If I do it, then what people will say? It can be strange. And to be very honest, whenever God gives us some instruction, it is always which is out of our comfort zone, which is always how we might think it's crazy. And we see that how Noah was really faithful, and he walked with God, and he was obedient and consistent to build that ark, which was really big. If I think of it, like, it was really, really big, how many animals and his family and everyone was there in the ark, and how much time it would have taken, and he was so faithful and obedient to follow the instruction which God had given him. That's what is walking with God. It takes consistency. It takes commitment. The next slide that we have is, now we'll see what walking with God is. In the scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance." Sincere heart, wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Wholeheartedly we have to come. With full assurance, with full confidence, with full boldness. That's why the song was saying that no one can be called the father, no one can be called this friend. Friend, because when we come to a friend, we come with a boldness. We are very confident that he will listen to us. With full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So it talks about wholeheartedly, it talks about confidence, and it talks about having our bodies washed with pure water. So it's about the baptism. And we know the baptism that when we baptize, it's a sign of we are being cleansed with the Holy Spirit. All our sins are being cleansed internally. That's the sign of baptism. Now we want to, I want to look now how we can correlate how God really walks with us in our life, how close he walks with us. Just to get a feeling, you know, I want to see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. "Then the man and his wife heard the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Can you imagine that God was walking in the garden with them? It's the same way in our life God walks with us. I sometimes think of it like, if I'm going alone and if I'm walking with God and God is walking beside me, and we can chat like, how is it? How is going on? How is everything? Do you have a problem? And then I'm talking about all the problems that I have in my life, and God is listening to me, and then he is giving me directions. Can we imagine like those kind of walk with God, where we are really walking with him every step by step, side by side, not in an opposite direction, but with the same direction? And walking with God really takes something which is very difficult, and that's aligning our will with God's will. We cannot walk with God in opposite direction, like he is going in the north and we are going in the south. It cannot happen. We have to be with him in the same direction. God desires it for you and me as much as he did for Adam and Eve. He really wants us to walk with him. We'll see what God desires of us, what God desires of us from the scripture, which is from Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So what he wants? To act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. So we cannot walk with God if we do not have love for him in our heart, if we do not submit ourselves to him wholeheartedly, if we are not confident in his promises, if we are not relying on his promises, we cannot walk with him. It's same as I can give an example with our partner or our spouse. If my wife says me that I am going to make coffee, then I believe and I trust her, and I will be waiting for the coffee to come. And maybe after 1 hour, if I go and see that she is watching TV, though I don't have TV in my house, if I see her, she is watching TV, then, oh, I was waiting for the coffee, it's been 1 hour. So we trust our partners in the same way God wants us to trust him. God wants us to rely on his promises. So there are a few points which I have written. What does it mean to walk with God? To walk with God is the intimate heart-to-heart relationship with God. He becomes our heart's greatest desire. He becomes our heart's greatest desire. Take a moment and think about it. Is God your heart's greatest desire today, or is there something else? Or is there something worldly things? Or is there something which is bothering you? If that's the case, let us come today and make God our heart's desire. Knowing him, the thirst that we should have in our heart to know him, you know. When I was dating my girlfriend, who is my wife right now, back in 2010, I had the desire in my heart to know her very well. I used to call her. We were almost like 3,000 kilometers away from each other. And I used to call her every morning and every evening. I used to call her to know about her, you know, to know her. And that's what is the relationship that we have with God. Here, to know him, we should be really excited to know him, you know, each and every moment. Hearing his voice. It's very, very important, hearing his voice. How much time do we give in our life to hear God's voice? That's why it says that intercession that we have is very, very important, very important. Maybe we might struggle to hear his voice, but I would say that intercession is the place where we can start learning. Initially, you might join and maybe feel like, oh, nothing is happening, but it takes time, but when you start listening, it is so wonderful. It is so wonderful that God, when speaks to us in our heart and he reveals new things, things that we really don't know, wisdom that we cannot think of, you know. Then sharing our hearts with him. Seeking to please him becomes our focus. Not seeking to please our surroundings, not pleasing the people around us, not pleasing our friends or our colleagues. Seeking to please God will be our first focus. Everything to us, he will be everything to us. He is everything to us when we walk with God. Live to fellowship with him. We live to fellowship with him, you know. We do everything to have fellowship with him. We do everything to glorify his name. So God has the desire. God wants us to walk with him today. I just want to put a question. Are we ready today to walk with him? Or is there something in our heart today, in our life, which is really hindering us from walking with him? I know everyone goes for a walk, maybe sometime alone or sometime with friends, you know. And when we walk, we talk with each other, right? And when we talk with each other, we have our full focus on the person who is walking with us. Sometime we might distract, like if we are walking through, maybe in Zeist we have a lot of forest and walking area where you can walk through the forest. And sometimes we walk, we see some beautiful things, and then we get distracted and see like, oh, you see this beautiful thing. And then when you get distracted, but that's for a moment to draw the attention of the person who is walking with you to show her, see, this is beautiful. That's how walking with God works, you know. You cannot have your half of the attention at home and half of the attention when you are walking. You are fully focused on the people or the person who is walking with you. You share with, yeah, if it's your partner, you share with him. If it's your friend, you share with him. Or if it's your colleague, you share about work or anything. But your full focus is on the person. And that's what the scripture says. You know, if we look at Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Can we walk together unless we are agreed to do so? If we are going for a walk, and if I say to my wife and she doesn't agree, then we cannot go. I have to go alone, or she has to go alone. That's how. But God, here God has agreed. We have to agree. If we do not agree, if we do not commit ourselves to God, we cannot walk together. We cannot walk with him in a half heart, like putting a half of our heart in the worldly desire and half with his desire. No, it cannot happen. We see what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. So when we walk with God, we deny our own desire, our own fleshly desire, own worldly desire. I cannot go in a walk with my wife without, maybe if my wife asks me to go for a walk, I cannot say that, oh, I have an appointment. So there are two options. Either I can go in a walk with my wife, or I have to attend the appointment and cancel the walk. And that's what happens. We cannot have the fleshly desire in our heart and at the same time walk with God. We cannot do that. We have to deny all the things, all the fleshly desire, all the worldly things, everything from our life, and walk with God. Of course, you know, we are in flesh. We will make mistakes. But there is always, God is so faithful, he is so merciful that we can come back to him. We can come back to him and ask for forgiveness. But when we walk with God, if we do some mistake or sometime we fail him, the Holy Spirit is always there to convict us. And we should be faithful to come and repent and continue our journey with God. And he is always faithful that he will forgive us. We see in Romans chapter 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. So we are not righteous, but we are made righteousness in Jesus. If someone says today that I haven't done anything, I haven't done sin, I haven't sinned, and I haven't done any wrong, he is wrong. We cannot say that. Everyone is fallen into sin. Even Noah was the same. Even Enoch was the same. They were blameless. They were righteous through their faith. Same way today we are blameless. We can be righteous through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You know, until and unless we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and conform us in Jesus' image, we cannot be righteous. We cannot walk with God. You know, we cannot be in the right place, because we cannot make ourselves righteous without having Jesus in our life, without letting the Holy Spirit guide us in our life. We cannot do it with our own effort. No, we cannot do it. And that's why I was reading one book many months back, I guess. In that book, John Bevere says that, you know, my ultimate goal is that when I die and when people will see me, they should see Jesus in me. And that should be the goal of a believer's life, to conform in his image, to conform in Jesus' image, so that people see something in your life. People see Jesus in our life, you know. When Bible speaks of walking with God, it also refers to our lifestyle. How is our lifestyle? We see, for example, in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, he followed the ways of the house of Ahab and did evil in the eyes of the Lord. We know how cruel Ahab was. He followed the ways of house of Ahab and did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done, for he was related by marriage to Ahab's family. In the same way, we see the ways of the world in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In which you used to live, and when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So it's very difficult. We cannot walk with God having our lifestyle not being changed, having our, habits which doesn't really glorify God. It reminds me of, I don't know, maybe it was last year when Darkian was saying about that word, chuck it away. If something which you feel is not from God, throw it away. That's the same thing, that the habit that you think which doesn't glorify God, take it away, throw it away, close those doors. We see how Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. Until and unless we let the Holy Spirit work in our life, we cannot control our life. We cannot do it with our own strength. We will always fail. Until and unless we let the Holy Spirit guide us, we cannot do it with our physical strength. We see in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, we see that how a person who walks with God looks. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's how a life looks when we walk with God. You don't walk with the sinners. You don't walk with the people who are a companion with the evil workers or the mockers. But we delight on the law. Of course, it's very difficult when we work in a corporate world, or when we are working somewhere and there we are surrounded by people who doesn't know God. Or for example, in my team, when I joined my new company and the team, they were mocking at my face. They didn't knew that I was a believer, but they were mocking about Christ. They were mocking about the faith of Christianity. They were mocking. But when they came to know that I was a believer, I think they respected and they stopped doing that, you know. But that's how we have to live, you know. In this world where it is full of sin, we see the life of Enoch and Noah. They were at that time when God was going to judge people by destroying the whole world with flood. It's the same way today we are at the end of time when we are waiting for God and the world is full of broken and we should live and walk with God. We see the thing that really touched my heart is Psalm chapter 1, verse, the last thing, the verse 3. I would like to read it again. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Whatever we will do whenever we walk with God, we will prosper because our will is aligned with His will. Our walk is with Him. So anything we will do, it will be glorifying His name, and He is there to help us and He is there to guide us. And I'm telling you with 100% confident, anything which is in God's will, and when we say yes, it will be done. It will be done. You just have to say yes, it will be done. We see in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, what Paul says. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's how we can please God. We can walk with Him wholeheartedly and denying all the fleshly desire that we have in our heart. We can please Him in this way. Of course, we will be making mistakes. We will be falling down. But God is so faithful to lift us up. We see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That means it says that there will be distraction. There will be things that will demotivate us, or things that will try to distract us. But we have to fix our eyes on Jesus, not look at our surrounding, and walk with Him. Because He has given us the eternal joy. He has endured the pain. He has taken all the sin, the pain on Himself in the cross. He has taken all the shame that we have. Everything is taken and the work is done. And we can put our confidence in Him and trust Him. So that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 it says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I would say, whether you inhale or exhale the air, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you think, just think for a moment, is it glorifying God? Whatever, it can be anything. Is it glorifying God? Whatever you are thinking, is it glorifying God? And I'm very much confident, if you are honest and if you are letting the Holy Spirit to guide you, the Holy Spirit will convict you. Oh, this is wrong. You are thinking it wrong. You should not think this way. We see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. How we can know a person is walking with God. We can see the fruit of Spirit in his life. And what's the fruit? Joy, peace, love, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit that we have from the Spirit in our life when we walk with God. And that's how we can recognize a person who is walking with God. The next thing that we see is when we walk with God, people see something very special in our life. Something very special. You might not be the star in your workplace. You might not be the employee of the year. You might not be working in a very executive level or something. But there is always something that really attracts people to you. They might not be expressing that, but they will see something very special. And it always reminds me of Joseph, how Joseph was working as a servant in Potiphar's house, and how he was promoted, how his master was seeing hands of God in his work. In the same way, we might not be much knowledgeable about the work that we do. We might not be that much talented. We might not be that much, you know, sharp or, very expert in the job. But there will be something when we walk with God that will tell people something is very important is there in this person. Something special is there in this person. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that this man had been with Jesus. In the same way, when we walk with God, people realizes that there is something special in this person's life. There is something which really attracts. There is something which is very special, and they will know it. Sometimes they don't know it and come and ask us, and we should be faithful to share with them. When we walk with God, the world cannot help but recognize that in spite of our imperfection and lack of knowledge in some areas, we have been with Jesus. And that's the grace that they will see in our life. That's the grace. When I was preparing this sermon, and we are at the last slide, I have a Bible study book, and when I was looking at this last scripture, which is from Acts chapter 4, verse 13, I saw a sentence which really touched my heart, and I felt like I would share with you, which I have not put in the slide, because sometimes when you put it in the slide, then you don't hear to me, you just look. And so it says, a changed life convinces people of Christ's power. One of our greatest testimonies is the difference others see in our life, the attitude that has changed since we have believed in Christ. And that's the testimony. So today, as we come to the conclusion, let us take a moment, maybe when you are home, whenever you are free, that are we impacting the life around us? Are people seeing the changes in our life? Oh, wait, there is a change. There is a sparkle in this person's life. Are we having those impact in our life? If not, then are we missing something? Are we not walking with God? Are we not aligning our will with the will of God? There might be something that is blocking us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for the sermon that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for the words, Lord. Lord, we pray that, yes, Lord, if there is something which is blocking us, Lord, you know that. You know the heart's desire. You know our desire, Lord. Lord, we pray that each and every blockings that we have in our life, which is not from you, we bind those with the holy blood of Jesus and cast them out from our life. Because it's your life. It's your breath that we are breathing, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, Lord. And we want to glorify you. We want to align our will, Lord, with your will. We want to walk with you, Lord. We want to live for you and have fellowship with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.